demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news, and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top story of the day. Well, you want to say I was wrong, but what I heard was true. Something happened throughout this process, though. The Atlanta Falcons are hiring the Rams defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris, as their next head coach. Now, Angel, we're having internet issues here today. So the story I pulled up was from CBS Sports, and it was about after the first interview, Arthur Blank, basically, according to sources close to him, in a roundabout way, said that it's his job if he wants it. That it's Bill Belichick's job if he wants it. And that's what I talked about yesterday. It's what I talked about with Tanner and Brian yesterday on Good Morning NoCo. That it was Bill Belichick's job if he wants it. He gets the second interview, and suddenly it's, now we're not real sure who we're going to hire. And then it goes a little bit longer than we thought, and here you go. Raheem Morris. He's the Atlanta hiring Raheem Morris as his coach on Thursday makes him the first former NFL head coach owner Arthur Blank has hired in his 20-plus year tenure. It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's been a long time. So you can see why they want to take their time with it. But everything that we heard was that it was going to be Bill Belichick if he wanted it. So I was of the mindset that Belichick didn't want it, but then he gets the second interview. And then after that, shortly after that, we hear that it's Raheem Morris.
Yeah. I like the hire for Atlanta. I thought Belichick had made sense, but I feel like this is a good fallback plan. I'm more curious now what Belichick's doing.
What is he going to do? Washington's the only one available now, right?
Washington, Seattle.
Ah, yeah. Keep forgetting about Seattle.
Can't forget about Seattle.
It's hard for me to believe that Pete Carroll's gone.
They're just up in the Northwest.
Well, yeah. And
they're hiding away in the rain.
I've blocked them out of my mind now because of the
Broncos fan in you? Or?
Yeah, okay. Because of the Russell Wilson trade, and I'm just like, they don't even exist. That never happened. That terrible trade that's going to go down as the worst in history, that never happened. So with Bill Belichick, my question is, what went down in the second interview? Because if Bill Belichick was like, yeah, I want this job, and I want to do what I did with New England, I want to bring championships here, I want to go out on top, we're going to do all this. Or was the interview kind of like, I don't know, I might retire soon. I'm not real sure. I could be here for a while, and maybe not. I mean, I'm on to Cincinnati, and then after that, who knows?
Bill, what's your plan for our quarterback position? What do you want to do there?
I'd like for him to play by the rules and Falcon way, you know.
Are you guys hearing him? I can't. Are you talking?
No.
You have coffee this morning,
like,
Bill?
What happened in that? And what is Belichick? Do you think it was more of a mutual thing, kind of like, I'm not sure if I'm the right guy. I don't know. This is new for Belichick, too. I mean, it's a brand new spot for him to be in.
Well, there were rumors about who the owner wanted versus who the front office wanted. Did they override the owner?
And see, as much as everyone is clamoring about Bill Belichick being the next head coach for whatever your franchise is, I was never all on board for that. And that's not because I'm not saying he probably is the greatest coach of all time. Yes, the Tom Brady thing is real, though. That is real. But Angel, how old is he? Is he 70?
71.
Like that, I'm not trying to be like an ageist or whatever that's called. But if I'm like really serious about being building up a long-term plan, hiring a guy that might call it quits in 3 to 4 years or go through one contract. Now, again, I know it's rare for coaches to go and do what Belichick did with the Patriots or what Mike Tomlin's doing with the Steelers. I know that's and Carroll with the Seahawks. It's rare. But I would be a little leery of that. I would be a little concerned that, okay, Belichick's going to give this a try. And at any moment, I mean, what if he's done? What if he's fried from it? You know, it's not New England, so it's not the thing he was used to the majority of his career. What if he gets up and tired of it after 1 year, and then bam, you committed to him when you had a bunch of other candidates that you liked?
So in this story here from Yahoo Sports, they claim that a source familiar with the Falcons and Arthur Blank, the element of realignment that would have needed to take place inside the organization to maximize a Belichick hire, there was no detailed plan of a linear chain of command under a new head coach and how it would work. And basically, their meetings with Blank and Belichick continue belief that the full scope of football operations, personnel, and coaching would be under his decision-making umbrella. So it sounded like Belichick wanted more control than the Falcons were willing to give.
Well, there you go. I think all those reasons are going to mix into it. You're basically asking us to not only give you the keys to the house, to the room. You want the keys to the entire hotel. You want to run everything. First off, I'm not sure that we're in that setup. We're not like that. Second, how long are you going to be here? That's a big undertaking. You're wanting to basically take Atlanta and build them in your own image at the age of 71?
Mm-hmm.
What if you get tired?
When Atlanta's been kind of building themselves up with talent the last 3-4 years.
Which is
why
they
hired...
We want
a guy that's going to come in and maximize that talent.
Which is why they hired fired their last coach. Because they feel like they're getting the talent. They're just not getting over the hump and getting into the playoffs. So I think a good mixture of that is we want a head coach. We don't want a GM. And we don't know, even if we did that, how long are you really in this thing? That has to be a legitimate concern. Same would be with Pete Carroll. We hire you, we bring you over here. When do you hit the wall? And now suddenly we're here going, there was a lot of good candidates in 2023, 24. And we went with you, and you gave us 2 years. And you just kind of made us a little experiment before you decided to retire from the game. I could easily see that happen. Now, Bill Belichick is a great coach, but how great is he? That's something you have to ask, too. How big of a risk is that? Because he didn't really prove it after Tom Brady and before Tom Brady. You remember his time in Cleveland. Wasn't anything to write home about. I think he had a playoff year, and then outside of that, he was not very good.
Mm-hmm. Once he lost Saban, it was...
You say, was it Saban or was it Brady? Was it Saban or was it Brady? The interesting thing is, like, okay, Washington, Seattle, those are the jobs now, right?
Yeah, and there's no indication that they are, either one of them are pursuing him.
I hadn't heard his name come up. Did he interview with the Chargers, too, or did he just interview?
I think he did interview with the Chargers.
Okay. So Belichick interviewed with the Chargers and the Falcons, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you guys, if he was 61, that's a different discussion. You're thinking, okay, you could build up here in 10 years. You can set a foundation. You can do this. You could do what Bruce Arians did in a very short time in Tampa Bay, but you can come in, lay some foundation down, and then as soon as you're tired, you got your protege ready to go, which I don't know if Todd Bowles is a protege, but... That could be the idea, but you're 71. I could easily see Belichick coach for 2 years and then go, I'm not going to find it here. I'm just going to be content with my 6 Super Bowls and being one of the winningest coaches of all time. Because how many more wins does he need to pass up?
6?
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't.
4-6.
He doesn't need that many.
Not that much.
Come on, Mac Jones. You couldn't get the old man 6 more wins.
Bailey, Zappy, come on.
Because who's the winningest coach of all time?
Shula,
he's only a few away from that. Mm-hmm. I could see him getting a job, and then it's like, I can win 6 games in 2 years, and then I'm the winningest coach, and yeah, I'm good with that. He's got the Hall of Fame resume.
I could see Washington doing it. I could also see Washington not doing it, because they feel similar to Atlanta in that they have a young, talented team. They just need the right coach. But they're still probably a year away from legit contending.
Yeah, I agree with those points. And I do think the quarterback coach thing is reality. I mean, who is more important to an NFL team? Just in general. The quarterback or the head coach?
Quarterback.
Gotta think so.
but that relationship needs to be strong in order to have a good quarterback.
Yeah, because, you know, you look at Big Ben has two Super Bowls, right? Didn't he win one with Bill Cowher?
I think so.
And then
I
he won-
say yes.
And then he won one with Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
Both great coaches. There's a pretty big common denominator there.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning went and he won two Super Bowls with the, or he won one with the Colts. He goes away, and Andrew Luck's a great quarterback, and it just, you know, he, mentally for him, he was ready to go because of the injuries and all that stuff, but they haven't really been great since.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos, same thing.
Tom Brady did it with two coaches.
Yep, and Tampa Bay did, I'll give it to them, they made it back to the playoffs, but they were 9-8. And they squeezed in, and they won a game. Good for them.
Aaron Rodgers, the floor interaction early on wasn't great,
yeah.
And then you bring in the Jordan Love situation. Seemed like the last few years he was just, I'm going to play, and then once I'm out of here, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and that those are two instances where maybe the coaches was more important at that stage, and we'll find out with Rodgers with the Jets, I guess.
Well, because Rodgers was in off-season contract stuff every year the last couple of years.
Yeah, so there's a big distraction on that side of it. But for the most part, I think you would say, whether it's a slight edge or whatever, the quarterback is the thing you got to get right, and then you got to get your coach right. Those are the two key positions. Those are the two key spots in the NFL. Everything else is secondary, unless you're San Francisco. Not ripping on Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the I don't know if him and Shanahan and Brock Purdy are like best buds. Maybe just more professional stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So it's very interesting. First Advantage text line. Did someone just knock in there?
It was Micah.
What did he say? Is this not for?
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. I just hear a tapping on the door over there. Yeah, I'm like, what is he doing over there?
Well, my room is, I think my room is more soundproofed than the studio.
Yeah, I could hear it, yeah.
So
it's crazy. I want to dispel a thing here. There was this rumor, Angel, that, 14 wins needed for Belichick.
Ah, I was almost there.
Could you get that in two seasons?
Yeah.
Be tough.
Maybe.
You just got to win 7 games each year.
Or, you know, you win 9 one year and 5 the other.
Yeah. Well, that was an interesting move. Kind of took me by surprise, but something went down. And again, the management thing and the second interview, all that stuff probably come into play. I wanted to spell this because there's this Twitter thing going on with amongst CSU fans that are basically talking about Brock Purdy paying a visit to CSU back in his before he got into college. And that was when Mike Bobo was there. And basically, he liked Mike Bobo, and that he was going to come to CSU if Mike Bobo was the head coach. And a lot of Rams fans are saying, well, what would have happened if we would have kept Bobo around? We would have had Brock Purdy. Well, I wanted to do some fact-checking here, so I text none other than Kevin Lytle with the Colorado and our Rams insider. And he said, I don't think he ever visited, but they were interested in him. He had an offer from CSU, but he never visited.
Hmm.
So that, I mean, he wasn't really interested.
What if he was? What does that change for CSU today?
Is he good enough to keep Bobo around and then they keep Bobo and you never have to go through the Addazio thing and you never have to go through, well, I guess you wouldn't have Jay Norvell. Would Bobo still be here?
I don't know. I mean Purdy was solid in college. There's a reason he fell to the 7th round.
Right. And Bobo had Colin Hill, who just couldn't stay healthy, but he was talented. Then he had Nick Stevens. Yeah, Brock Purdy would have probably been an upgrade, both health wise and skill wise, but it wouldn't mean
How long was Addazio the coach? 2 years?
He had the COVID year. And then the following year.
Okay.
That was a very interesting time for the Rams. A forgotten time. I think people want to forget that time.
I mean, you lose the locker room, everything kind of just falls apart.
You lose everything. I mean, Remember that story that came out? I don't know if you were starting with this yet. In the Colorado, and that he was bullying players, basically. And our boy Ellison Hubbard's like, yeah, he didn't even know who I was. And I was there for 5 years, and I was considered kind of a, not really a captain, but a big leader of this team. And Odazu barely recognized him in the hallway. And then there was the janitor thing. He was mad because the janitor had the sign out that said you can't come in here because it's wet and I'm cleaning it. And Dazio was like, do you know who I am, bro? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't change. Can you not slip? Like, this is for anybody. I don't want you to fall. Doesn't matter. I'm Steve Addazio. Urban Meyer much, bro? Florida? Nothing? I'm going to go in here and I would like to use the restroom. You can't. You're going to fall. I'm looking out for your safety. Nobody tells me what to do. So that was a weird time. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The UNC Bears had a great game last night. They lose to Eastern Washington, but Eastern Washington now undefeated in the conference. Just to give you an idea, folks, the Bears were 6.5, 7-point dogs in this game. This was going to be a tall task for the Bears to do it. And plenty of times, and I want to talk about this in more detail, plenty of times Eastern Washington could have ran away with this thing. But the Bears kept fighting back, and we'll get into that on the other side. 22 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Don't let the Windsor thing fool you. They work with so many folks throughout the Front Range, throughout Northern Colorado. They are your go-to for farming operations. We have a lot of listeners that are in the ag world somehow. And maybe you're looking to make a switch. Maybe you're needing some different plans. Let that be Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. With my friend Ryan Hicks at nine, call him at 970-674-8825. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. There it is. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The UNC Bears last night, Angel, they lose 77-74. But it was a game where it kept feeling like the Eagles were going to pull away. You know, it was like a 10-point game, and then you're thinking, uh-oh, it's going to get... And then what? The Bears just kept firing back. It was really impressive to me that they were able to find a way to stay in this game. Dang near put themselves in a position to win it. They lose 77-74. Best team in the conference.
Yeah, best team. I know as Coach Smiley said, they've gone back and forth with Eastern Washington the last few years. They did beat them, UNC, in the Big Sky Championship a few years ago. Looking at just the box score, St. Thomas with another double-double, 20-10 for him.
And foul trouble early, too.
Foul trouble. He had 3 fouls in the first half, so yep. He did not play a ton in that first 20. Jaron Riley with 26 points, wow. five rebounds, and one rebound and 4 assists. But outside of that, no one really else for the Bears showed up. And then you compare that to what Eastern Washington did. They had 5 guys in double figures.
Well, yeah. And that's tough when, you know, everybody's coming at you from so many different angles. And that's why Eastern Washington is the top team in the conference. They have a lot of guys that can do it.
Even shooting 23% from 3-point range. They started off good. Then they went 6 of 26 overall from 3-point. Bears 9 of 27 from deep. Tied in the rebounding, just not, you know, good effort late. Maybe play just a little bit better defense in that first 10 minutes of the second half. But, there were moments in that second half I thought, okay, this game's going to get away from them. They're not just hitting their shots. And then, you know, you get close at the end, get yourself a chance to win it. But good, solid effort. I'm not one for moral victories, but You're going to get to play him again here later in February.
Yeah, and honestly, what happened in that last two or three minutes, that's when you just couldn't make the stops. Because you would score, they would Eastern Washington, just, you couldn't make the stops you needed to get past that 5-3 point mark. And so this was a really impressive effort, though. Now, I tweeted last night that, hey, this team is building something there. There's nothing to hang your head about when you are the dog going into Eastern Washington and you lose that game. There's nothing to hang your head about. Did you see this guy tweeted me? Like, why do you hate the Bears so much, bro? I could see if you don't like the Bears, but why are you actively, like, hating on the Bears?
I see that a lot on social media. I think the Bears are just an easy target for trolls and, your bad team's bad. Be bad. Nah, it's like, are you paying attention?
Like, the tweet was like, this is the biggest spin I've ever seen. They're building something. They're losing in a 500 team in a crappy FCS conference or whatever he called it. Not FCS. It wouldn't be FCS. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Mid-major.
Yeah.
I think, first off, like, and he tries to go with stats here and say, only so many Big Sky teams have won, gotten past the first round of the NCAA tournament. Well, first off, only one team gets in every year. You got to win the tournament. You got to win the Big Sky tournament to get in. So your odds decrease as far as how many games your conference is winning on a yearly basis.
Yeah, you put the best Big Sky team against Arizona. Yeah, they'll probably lose by 30.
A Big Sky team is going to get they're going to get matched up with a great seed. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to get matched up. That's just the way it is. They're not one of the premier conferences. They're not at the same level. So to, like, put that, listen, we know what it is. Do we expect the UNC Bears, be honest, to ever win a national championship in basketball?
Probably not.
I know. Your eyes glistened a little bit there.
That'd be cool.
Do we ever expect them to get to the Final Four?
Probably not.
Grade 8 or Elite 8?
No.
Sweet 16?
No.
Round of 32?
Maybe. That'd be cool.
But that's like...
But I would... That's like me the personally, mountain. I'd be fine with just making the dance.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge thing. Because then you've won your conference and you've gotten into the big dance.
That's the mountain for UNC. So for this like Twitter troll who's like got one follower and it's probably
his
mom.
Do you have a profile picture?
It was like one of the things that aren't really him. Maybe it was a dog or something.
An NFT or something?
Yeah. And like he's got one follower or whatever and it's like his mom or his grandma or something.
No, it's his burner account.
Yeah, it's just his burner account. And he's like, and then Tanner goes to bat and says, hey, tell me you know nothing about the Big Sky Conference by without saying, you know, I don't know, whatever that phrase is. Tanner came up with something funny. And the guy's like ripping Tanner, says, do some basic research. The Big Sky Conference sucks, man. You're like expecting the Big Sky to compete with the best conferences.
All right, well.
Did you find the tweet?
Mm-hmm.
He said he's not. I'm not even mad.
He's apparently a UNC fan.
Well, there you go.
With a dog picture, but your cover is Army Navy.
Well, he's a bigger Army Navy fan, I guess. Maybe he's in the Army and Navy. And if so, thank you for your service, but you're also not a nice person. You can be a mean person, and I can still thank you for your service if you're in the military.
Brady hits you with the relax, bro.
Well, because he's like, I'm not even mad.
Because
your
mad.
Take
you're
is so bad.
At 10:30 at night, and he's after the game's over.
He's laying in a Tanner, and I'm like, okay, now you do sound mad. Okay, be realistic here. Eastern Washington is a good team.
They're a very good team.
They beat some teams they weren't supposed to beat in the non-con schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Sky is known as a very tough conference at that stage.
Competitive conference, top to bottom.
Right. So to just come out as if they needed, no, the Bears got to win that game. First off, the Bears are the Bears were in a rebuild mode. What happened? Steve Smiley finds St. Thomas. Nobody else did. And did you, Angel, I know you are a diehard fan. But did you really expect the Bears to be above 500 late January?
No. I had a lot of questions about how this team was going to come together, who was going to step up to be the guy. Obviously, replacing Kuntz and Johnson and Connect were a big task. And we know, you know, they lost a couple of players to the transfer portal or graduation or pro basketball, whatever. But Smiley's done probably one of his better coaching jobs at UNC this year, bringing in guys like Jaron Rilley and St. Thomas, DeJour Reeves, guys that have all contributed. And, you know, DeJour's averaging like 12 points off the bench, and he could be a starter.
Dudes that nobody knew about at the beginning of the season are coming up with big plays.
UNC was picked ninth in both the coaches and media poll in the preseason.
Yeah, and so you get this troll that's coming out going, they're building something here? They were picked ninth, and they were second. They're probably sitting in a tie now with everybody. But they were second going into that Eastern Washington game.
Yeah, and you know they have a tough schedule still ahead of them, but this team could very well be the number two seed going into the tournament.
Could be. I got to tell
you.
They
are good enough to do that.
I was pleasantly surprised with their effort. I wouldn't have picked them to beat Eastern Washington. I thought maybe this team could cover that spread, but I wouldn't have picked them to win that game. I was surprised when they were down 10 that they kept making it a game. So they're now in third place by themselves because Montana's 4-3 and UNC beat Montana, right? Montana State is 5-2, and that's one of the teams that beat. No.
Yes, they lost to Montana State.
I'm right. Okay, so they lost to Montana State and Eastern Washington now, correct?
Yes, but they will get all three of those teams again at home later this season.
So what I'm curious to see now with the Bears is the follow-up game. Because now you have a team, you're at Idaho, and Idaho's the bottom of the barrel. You have to be able to just recalibrate. You were really up for the biggest contest so far in the conference. You got to follow that up with you got to get this dub.
Absolutely.
So now you get if you get this dub, that's the thing, man. Like they're sitting in third place with opportunities in front of them still. They're tied with Montana State, but Montana State has the tiebreaker. So
and they're one win away from passing their record of last year, where they only had 12 wins.
Yeah, what are you talking about? 500. They were 11-7 going into that game. So I don't know who this troll is and who
they
hurt
like
him.
Seven of their last eight games.
Who hurt this guy?
Apparently UNC.
Again, it wasn't a this is no spin. If this was CSU, look at what my tweet was about CSU the other day when I was like, I thought this team was too good for us to say tough road environment, they lost. I was critical. I can be critical. With UNC, I'm surprised that they're even in games. And yet here they are. With an opportunity, which don't get comfortable, smiley fans, because I think this is the kind of season, even if they don't go dancing, where people look and go, how do you keep making something out of this thing? And that's, I again, don't know. I think he loves it here.
In Eastern Washington, they have a very good basketball program.
Extremely good.
Big Sky champs 2 years ago. I believe they were in the championship game last year. They got a very good program. A lot of guys came back from last season.
Yeah.
And like we said, nobody expected UNC to be in this position.
Dude, I remember sitting down with Coach Smiley at the beginning of the season. He's like, yeah, I think we can be. Coaches are always going to give you coach speak, you know. I think we can be good. We got a couple of these guys, and we'll really see how they work out and all that. Like, St. Thomas just continues to blow my mind.
Oh, the way he came out in the second, he scored like 15 right out of the gates in the second half.
Three fouls early, and you're grabbing some bench. And
he's chirping at the student sections.
I love this dude.
He's fun.
I love that guy. Brock Wisney had some moments, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't tearing it up, but he had some moments in that game.
No, for an undersized center that he is, he plays very, very hard.
He said, Chris says, I'm listening on radio. Sounds like Gremlins are at work today. I have just been informed the stream is back up. We have the stream, the listen live thing. Gremlins were attacking. But
Susan and Cheryl are back.
Susan and Cheryl are back. The great people at KFK. Little Micah, who's tapping on your little windshield back, your little window back there. You know, like, please, sir, may I have whatever he was doing. Must have been
urgent news from the Queen.
They fixed it. So, good job, Tanner, Damon, Micah, everybody. There's too many people to thank. I don't have enough time. But we do have the stream back and up and running. So, there you go. 39 minutes after the hour. Good thing, too, because the picks are coming up in about an hour. And if you miss that, you know you'll be miserable over the weekend. You're not going to know what to do with yourself. 6-4 against the spread. Pretty strong. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Okay, Angel, so I'm driving into work today. I'm on 392. And I'm going east, obviously. Well, I guess you'd go west or east, but I was going east. I'm behind a car who's behind a semi truck. Semi truck is going to turn right, And so they need the wide turn, right? Give me some room here. So they have to turn out onto the left lane and give themselves plenty of clearance. The car in front of me, dude, tries to go around the truck on the left side, knowing that this is a highway. You literally cannot see what's past the semi truck because he's now blocking the view of the cars that are now coming west. This car in front of me tries to pass the semi truck and get in the left lane as the truck is needing the wide berth there to get in, and the car is trying to pass him. And so I'm like, this is what are we doing here? And then the car gets right up on the semi's butt. So if the semi needs to back up or do anything, you can't because you're right there. You're impatient. So then I'm driving along. I turn off. That car's in front of me still. And then I end up pulling up next to him like on 10th. And somebody had clearly at some point waylaid him on the side. Well, I'm like, no wonder you got in a wreck because you drive like this. You tried to pass a semi when you couldn't see oncoming traffic. My point bringing this up is we know we live in a world of drivers that just don't get it. And so if you are somebody, you know, I mean, there could have been an accident right there. I could have seen a bad accident because that car had no idea what was going on. As soon as that truck cleared the way and there was a car coming from the east going west, we could have had some trouble. So if you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact. That's Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm. They're at trialproven.com. Listen, we know not everybody is a logical driver, so find the logical law firm that can help you with your case or perhaps somebody's case. You know somebody who complains about the very thing that I just complained about, but it actually resulted in a bad accident. Trialproven.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I thought it was, again, the UNC Bears, hats off to him. Nothing to hang your head about. I don't care what the trolls say. You clearly need to get happy somehow, and maybe watching sports ain't it. I get mad at sports, too. We analyze. We talk about issues with this team. UNC needs to play defense better. I thought overall they played better until that, like, five-minute stretch, and they just couldn't get over that hump. They were exchanging baskets, and when you're down by, like, 5-7, you can't just get in the mode of exchanging baskets. So the Bears should get another road win this weekend, get back on the right track, and keep themselves in top of the Big Sky standings. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. What will this do to Lamar Jackson's legacy? Just beating the Chiefs. We're not talking about winning the Super Bowl, but just beating the Chiefs this weekend. Does it do a lot for you, or do you need to see it completed? He needs to win a Super Bowl.
No, I think it does a lot for me. I think getting to the Super Bowl it can hurt you in a lot of ways, but can also get you to that, you know, that next tier that we've been talking about with Lamar. I think he has a lot of respect as the athlete, the player that he is. You know, maybe the way he goes about things it puts people off sometimes, but you can't deny his ability on the field. He is electric. He is, you know, he is a tough quarterback to play against. I think getting to the Super Bowl would be enough for him to kind of garner that respect, and I think it puts him up there past. You passed Josh Allen. Now you're right behind Mahomes.
Yeah, you passed Josh Allen. You're exactly right. Well, and you win, you know, a Super Bowl.
Josh Allen hasn't, you know, in the grand scheme, hasn't done much. He doesn't even have an MVP.
Doesn't have an MVP. He hasn't been to a Super Bowl. He's been to one AFC Championship game.
Turns the ball over a lot.
Does turn the ball over a lot. So this would be a significant win for Lamar. If Mahomes wins this thing and gets into the Super Bowl, this would be four. He'd be his fourth trip to the Super Bowl. I mean, if he can do it, if the Chiefs can do it this weekend, I mean, Mahomes is right on the heels of Brady.
Oh, I mean, we called him Baby Goat in his second year.
We said he's Hall. Like, some people, and I wasn't this guy, but there were some that were like, year two of starting, he could quit today, retire today, and be a Hall of Famer.
And that was when he lost to Brady in the AFC Championship.
Right, because he's that good, and he is. He is that good. This is going to be no easy task for Baltimore's defense. I did like Roquan Smith who said, oh, he's a great quarterback, not taking anything away, but he puts his pants on just like every other quarterback.
I don't know about that.
I don't think so, man. I think Brittany puts his pants on.
I was going to say, Brittany has to help him or something. It's like, no, I can do it. She's like, no, let me help you.
What does this do for Brock Purdy if he gets into the Super Bowl on his arm? Not the Christian McCaffrey show, 175 yards, whatever. Not the Deebo Samuel show. But if it's Brock Purdy doing it, do we start getting people like me start giving him the credit perhaps that he deserves?
It should, but I think for him, he has to win the Super Bowl.
And it has to be on his arm, doesn't it? Like, it has to be his
stats. I've never doubted his ability as a quarterback. He is a very good quarterback.
He
I don't
is.
Watch
he just
a ton
gets a
of
bad
San Francisco.
Because he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a great story. And that's a cool thing. I do lean a bit towards the talent around him. When they added Christian McCaffrey last year, that offense took it to another level. And, you know, we always knew that San Francisco was going to have a good running game. We know what Deebo Samuel can do. Brandon Ayuk has emerged as one of the top receivers in the league. And it's kind of like, you know, could Jimmy G be doing this? Could Trey Lance be doing this with the same team minus the injuries?
Mm-hmm.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
But Brock Purdy landed in that situation. He's making the best of it. But I think in order to get that level of respect, he can't just get to the Super Bowl. Because if he gets there and doesn't win it, it's going to be, see, told you, he's not the guy.
This is what San Francisco does. They're the best team in the NFC all year. They prove it a couple of times, but they can't seem to beat the best team in the AFC. What does this do for Jared Goff? You got to feel like it vindicates him or whatever. Like, he's got to feel vindicated if he gets this win.
Yeah, it's an incredible, you know, almost comeback story. He was one or two coming out of college, good quarterback from Cal, going to L.A., took the Rams to a Super Bowl in his second or third year with them. He was the first quarterback when they moved back to Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken, with Todd Gurley and them.
Yes, sounds about right, okay. Yeah.
He was good there, and then he kind of fell off for a bit. I don't know if McVay was figuring him out or they just weren't connecting as well, and then you send him to the wall of Detroit to serve his watch, and he's turned his career around.
Yeah. No,
I think now he's vindicated in that. If he gets to the Super Bowl, it's the cherry on top.
Who winning this weekend is it more important to? Which quarterback is it more important to win this weekend for their legacy purposes and all that stuff? Is it Lamar?
I'd say it's Lamar.
I think so because Mahomes already done it. Mahomes already at this stage is a Hall of Famer. He is. He doesn't have anything to prove. He'll probably keep being in these. Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl. He's revived his career. Brock Purdy, we don't expect him to be in the upper echelon. Lamar, there's a lot to prove. Big Hubson missed the first hour and the half of the second because he listens to us from Georgia. There's only one way he can listen to us. Stream's back. Did you guys cover the coaching hire? Yeah, we got into that. We'll have it podcasted, though.
Big Hub, what thoughts?
Yeah, thoughts on your new head coach that's not Bill Belichick?
Will he break the Atlanta football curse? They can never win.
I don't know. Atlanta's in Washington territory for me right
now. The Bulldogs of Georgia are winning. The Braves are winning. Can the Falcons avenge 28-3?
Yeah. I mean, that's hard to overcome, even if it's not your hump to get over, Sean Payton. 12:51 the time.
You wanted to do it with the coach that did it to you.
Yeah. 12:51 the time. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two. We got buy or sell coming up. Also, Kansas City, Baltimore preview, Detroit, San Francisco preview, and ultimately, the picks. We'll be right back.
Speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Hall Show, powered by Chevron. Got buy or sell coming up in the final hour of the show and the picks. Break down the AFC and NFC championship games as well. Angel, I just want to say something real quick. It should be public since it's on Facebook here, so I don't want to give any details. But former UNC baseball coach Carl Iwasaki, if you haven't met that guy, I mean, he is an amazing human being, going through some pretty intense health issues right now. So if you know the guy or whatever, you know, prayers, thoughts, you know, thinking about him and his family, of course, in this very difficult time, I'm sure would go a very long way. Very, very good dude. Carl Iwasaki, the former
UNC baseball coach. So we are pulling for that man. Like I said, awesome guy. We have the Friends of Baseball event coming up tomorrow. He was always there, always got a chance to talk to him for a little bit. So just one of the good ones. So thinking about that man, I'll certainly be praying for him and his family. You know, it's at some point after the show, we'll find some quiet time there for that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. When we get into this, I want to get into more of the Detroit-San Francisco matchup. And just how big of a task is it going to be for the Lions? San Francisco, I mean, when it's clicking, Angel, when everything's rolling for this team, it looks like they should never lose. You know, in fact, I'm shocked when they do lose because they're so stacked that it feels like they should win every single game. Is there pressure on the 49ers, though, to get this job done this year? When you look at their salary cap and you look at everything that they put into it, we'll talk about it coming up next.